In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I want to talk to you about the parable of the minas. So that's today. This is the ninth Friday of St. Luke. There are two parables about giving of money from the master with the expectation that the servant would be given the money and he would trade with it and gain more. In the parable of the talents, one servant received 10, another 5, and another 1. In the parable of the minas, there were 10 servants, and they each received one mina. In both parables, there was an ungrateful and unfruitful servant who took his one piece of money and buried it in the ground. There are significant differences between the two parables, but the actions of the ungrateful and unprofitable servants are the same. So it's very fruitful to look at their psychology. The ungrateful and the unprofitable servants buried the money. They did not make any attempt to be fruitful with it. And these servants consulted only with themselves. Sinful, proud, self-reliant man is inclined to listen to himself above the voices of anyone else. True humility is not to trust in our own opinions, but always to check them against those who have more wisdom than we do. How do we do this? By being children of the church. We trust in what the church teaches because it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. And to change the phrase a little bit, it is from the mouth of God to our ears. In Faith Enrichment last night, we were talking about the progression of sin, and there was the question, how does a person know the difference between good thoughts and bad thoughts? The only way to know is to live in the heart. Man has a deep heart, and God abides in the heart. And where God is, there's only truth and no falsehood. Perhaps that's not a very good answer for some, but because the next question is, how do you get God in your heart? We receive God in our heart by love, by obedience, by submission, by humility. We receive him by participation in his grace, which he gives us freely. God does not give us of himself, that is, give his grace to us, in order for us to sit around and do nothing and to bury that grace. A life lived without activity and struggle to do the work of good works is not a Christian life. God can come into our hearts anytime he wishes, but he chooses to only enter the heart that is struggling to prepare a place for him. We struggle, and sometimes we do well, and sometimes we do poorly. But God sees the struggle, and he enters our heart. Do you understand now the difference between the so-called reformer theology about works and the true Christian theology about them? There are no works which can make our heart be pure enough before God for him to enter. But God, seeing our works and even our failed attempts to do them, comes into our hearts and warms us and enlightens us. We start with small things and we continue with the small things and then we go on to greater things. We fast as the church teaches us to fast because we don't know a better way. We submit to our spiritual father and we trust his judgment. We confess frequently and we commune frequently because we're obedient to the way of life that is in the church. Many Orthodox Christians feel they have a better way and they don't commune or confess frequently. They are speaking to themselves and not listening to the church. We attend the services frequently, including the services that prepare us for the holy mysteries, such as Vespers or the Vigil service, which is Vespers and Matins, because this is our way of life. Those who talk to themselves say they don't have time, or they need to do this, or they need to do that. But those who listen to the church find the time. We read the scriptures constantly, especially the Gospels and the Psalter, trying to glean from them direction about what is right, what is wrong, what is alive, what is dead. Only God sees these things and knows these things. But he will share them freely with us if the soul is sitting at his feet and listening. Let us look a little bit more closely at the words of the sinful servant who was given one mina. He didn't see how his self-talk contained the truth, but he could not recognize it. He didn't understand he had a great opportunity to participate in the grace of God and to do his works. This is what the one mina represents. It is the grace of God given to us, and we ourselves should feel obligated from within ourselves to trade in this grace and to gain more for ourselves and for others. This is a great privilege. Our God trusts us sinful men to do holy things. He will not do these things for us, although he will help us when we are trying to do them. Let's look at the words of the man. Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have laid up in a napkin. And I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up what thou layest not down, and thou reapest where thou didst not sow. Part of this man's speech within himself was true. Part of it was false. But he believed only the false part because he consulted only himself. Of course, it's false that the Lord is austere, but it's true that he does take up where he does not lay down, and he does reap where he does not sow. This is speaking of good works done by sinful people, with God helping them. In the gospel, the Lord once told his disciples that they would do greater works than him. We are called to do good works, and it is a privilege to do them. The Lord will not do them for us. Why does the Lord agree with the man when he characterizes him as austere? The reason why is because the man, talking with himself, believes the Lord to be austere. Look at the entire theology of the Reformation. It is full of an austere God who judges those who are sinners. Our God is not austere. He is exacting, and he requires of us that we live as we speak. If we don't live according to the things that we say we believe, then we're liars, and the truth is not in us. It is because of love that God spurs us on to do good works, because if we struggle with them, our hearts will be open to the love of God, and he will become more manifest in our deep heart, which was made to contain him. Only a good heart can contain God. The wonder is that it matters not if we have the ability to do these good works. God will help us to accomplish them when he wishes. And if we do not accomplish the good work, he commends us for our efforts and he rewards us. It's a wonder above wonders that a person who sins can develop a good heart. All he needs to do is try. We have no ability whatsoever to do good, but God has the ability to help us when we try to do good. If you consult only yourself, you will always be wrong. The rich man with the great harvest, he spoke within himself and he asked what he should do. His answer to himself from himself was terribly wrong. The Pharisee, when he went in to pray in the temple instead of praying, spoke, as the parable says, within himself. And his prayer was one of judgment and arrogance without any self-knowledge whatsoever. The ungrateful servant, given the one mina, spoke within himself and put the grace of God in a napkin and he buried it. The fathers tell us that the wrapping of the mina in the napkin represents reminds us of the burial shroud of Christ, which contained, of course, a dead body. The ungrateful servant, speaking within himself, convinced himself that grace, which is the only power that gives life, should be put into a napkin, treated as dead, and buried. Let us flee from consulting only ourselves. And let us, because of the gratitude that God has given us of himself, that is his grace he has given to us, struggle to do good works. God bless you. And bye-bye from Owen Daniel, otherwise known as X-Man.